Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. I'm going to start today's podcast by channeling the spirit of Richard Dawson. So let's put 15 seconds on the clock and name the appliance in your home that would be the hardest to live without. Could it be the toaster? The microwave? Good answer. Well, the survey says the refrigerator. Over the course of the 20th century, this one-time luxury has become an indispensable feature of the American home, a mainstay in more than 99.5% of the nation's family kitchens by century's end. But the engineering principle on which it's been based, mechanical refrigeration, has had even more far-reaching effects through both refrigeration itself and its close cousin, air conditioning. Taken together, these cooling technologies have altered some of our most fundamental patterns of living. Our daily chores are different. What we eat and how we prepare food have both changed. The kinds of buildings we live and work in, and even where we choose to live across the whole length and breadth of the United States, all changed as a result of 20th century expertise at keeping things cool. Look back for a moment to the world before the widespread use of refrigeration and air conditioning, a world that was still very much present well into the first decades of the 20th century. Only fresh foods that could be grown locally were available, and they had to be purchased and used on a daily basis. Meat was bought during the daily trip to the butcher's. The milkman made his rounds every morning. If you could afford weekly deliveries of ice blocks, harvested in the winter from frozen northern lakes, you could keep some perishable food around for 2 or 3 days in an icebox. As for the non-existence of air conditioning, it made summers in southern cities, and many northern ones, insufferable. The nation's capital was a virtual ghost town in the summer months. As late as the 1940s, the 60-story Woolworth Building and other skyscrapers in New York City were equipped with window awnings on every floor to keep direct sunlight from raising temperatures even higher than they already were. Inside the skyscrapers, ceiling and table fans kept the humid air that came in through the open windows at least moving around. Throughout the country, homes were built with natural cooling in mind. Ceilings were high, porches were deep and shaded, and windows were placed to take every possible advantage of cross-ventilation. By the end of the century, all that had changed. Fresh foods of all kinds were available just about anywhere in the country all year round, and what wasn't available fresh could be had in convenient frozen form, ready to pop into the microwave. The milkman was all but gone and forgotten, and the butcher now did his work behind a counter at the supermarket. Indeed, many families concentrated the entire week's food shopping into one trip to the market, stocking the refrigerator with perishables that would last a week or more. And on the air conditioning side of the equation, just about every form of indoor space, office buildings, factories, hospitals, and homes, was climate controlled and comfortable throughout the year, come heat wave or humidity. New homes looked quite different, with lower roof lines and ceilings, porches that were more for ornament than practicality, and architectural features such as large plate glass picture windows and sliding glass doors. Office buildings got a new look as well, with literally acres of glass stretching from street level to skyscraping upper floors. Perhaps most significant of all, as a result of air conditioning, people started moving south, reversing a northward demographic trend that had continued through the first half of the century. Since 1940, the nation's fastest-growing states have been in the Southeast and the Southwest, regions that could not have supported large metropolitan communities before air conditioning made the summers tolerable. Mechanical refrigeration, whether for refrigeration itself or for air conditioning, relies on a closed system in which a refrigerant, basically a compound of elements with a low boiling point, circulates through sets of coils that absorb and dissipate heat as the refrigerant is alternately compressed and allowed to expand. In a refrigerator, the circulating refrigerant draws heat from the interior of the refrigerator, leaving it cool. In an air conditioner, coils containing refrigerant perform a similar function by drawing heat and moisture from room air. This may sound simple, but it took the pioneering genius of a number of engineers and inventors to work out the basic principles of cooling and humidity control. Prominent among air conditioning pioneers was Willis Haviland Carrier. After a number of experimental air conditioning installations, he patented dew point control in 1907, a device that for the first time allowed for the precise control of temperature and humidity necessary for sophisticated industrial processes. Air conditioners were soon being used in a variety of industrial venues, enumerated by Carrier himself. lithography, the manufacture of candy, bread, high explosives, and photographic films, and the drying and preparing of delicate hygroscopic materials such as macaroni and tobacco. At the same time, it didn't go unnoticed that workers in these air-conditioned environments were more productive, with significantly lower absentee rates. Comfort cooling, as it became known, might just be a profitable commodity in itself. Even as Willis Carrier was pioneering innovations in industrial air conditioners, a number of others were doing the same for comfort cooling. Beginning in 1899, consulting engineer Alfred Wolff designed a number of cooling systems, including prominent installations at the New York Stock Exchange, the Hanover National Bank, and the New York Metropolitan Museum of Art. Dozens of movie theaters were comfort-cooled after 1917, the result of innovation in theater air conditioning, with marquees proclaiming, "It's 20 degrees cooler inside." Frigidaire engineers introduced a room cooler in 1929, and they, along with other companies such as Kelvinator, General Electric, and York, pioneered fully air-conditioned homes soon after. Refrigerators didn't represent quite as much of a revolution. Many people at the turn of the century were at least familiar with the concept of a cool space for storing food, the icebox. But true mechanical refrigeration, involving that closed system of circulating refrigerant driven by a compressor, didn't come along in any kind of practical form until 1913. In that year, a man named Fred Wolff invented a household refrigerator that ran on electricity. He called it the Domelry, for domestic electric refrigerator, and sold it for $900. It was a quick hit, but was still basically an adaptation of the existing icebox, designed to be mounted on top of it. 2 years later, Alfred Mellows introduced the first self-contained mechanical refrigerator, which was marketed by the Guardian Refrigerator Company. Mellows had the right idea, but Guardian didn't make what it could of it. In 2 years, the company produced a mere 40 machines. Into the breach stepped one of the giants of the automotive industry, William Durant, president of General Motors. Realizing the potential of Guardian's product, he bought the company in 1918, renamed it Frigidaire, and put some of GM's best engineering and manufacturing minds to work on mass production. A few years later, Frigidaire also bought the Domelry patent and began churning out units, introducing improvements with virtually every new production run. At about the same time that both refrigeration and air conditioning were becoming significantly more commonplace, both also went mobile. In 1939, Packard introduced the first automobile air conditioner, a rather awkward affair with no independent shutoff mechanism. To turn it off, the driver had to stop the car and the engine and then open the hood and disconnect a belt connected to the air conditioning compressor. Mechanical engineers weren't long in introducing needed improvements, ultimately making air conditioning on wheels so de rigueur that even convertibles had it. But as wonderful as cool air for summer drives was, it didn't have anywhere near the impact of the contribution of Frederick McKinley Jones, an inventor who was eventually granted more than 40 patents in the field of refrigeration and more than 60 overall. On July 12, 1940, Jones, a mechanic by training but largely self-taught, was issued a patent for a roof-mounted cooling device that would refrigerate the inside of a truck. Jones's device was soon adapted for use on trains and ships. Hand in hand with Clarence Birdseye's invention of flash freezing, Jones's refrigeration system made readily available, no matter what the season, all manner of fresh and frozen foods from every corner of the nation, and indeed the world. Small but incrementally significant improvements continued as the century unfolded, making refrigeration and air conditioning systems steadily more efficient and more affordable, and increasingly widespread. The range of applications has grown as well, with mechanical refrigeration playing a role in everything from medical research and computer manufacturing to space travel. Without, for example, the controlled, air-conditioned environment in spacecraft and spacesuits, humans would never have made it into space or walked on the moon, even with all the other engineering hurdles overcome. But most of us don't have to go quite so far to appreciate the benefits of keeping cool. They're right there for us each time we open the refrigerator and reach for something cold to drink. The National Academy of Engineering selected air conditioning and refrigeration as one of the most notable achievements in modern engineering. To learn more about this and the other achievements that top the list, visit the NAE website at nae.edu or go directly to greatachievements.org. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.